Welcome to Common Voice, a podcast of the College of Public Health of Temple University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Common Voice, the podcast of the College of Public Health at Temple University in Philadelphia. I'm your host, Dr. David Sarwar, the Senior Associate Dean for Research and Strategic Partnerships within the college. And I'm thrilled to be joined today by Dr. Susan Kilroy, who is the Assistant Professor of Nursing in our Department of Nursing and Director of our Nursing Simulation Lab. Dr. Kilroy has been with us for a few years now and is going to play a really important role in our future as we move to our new building and think about the use of our state-of-the-art simulation center and how to use that to train and educate the next generation of nurses and college health professionals. So, Dr. Kilroy, welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Dr. Sarwar.
Please feel free to go ahead and call me David.
Okay, great.
But Susan, so you spent much of the first half of your career delivering clinical care in pediatric settings. And I know for a lot of nurses, oftentimes they do make a switch at some point in time in their careers from one type of nursing to another. But what are some of the most valuable things that you learned during that time that you were delivering clinical care?
So some of the most valuable things I learned, I was very lucky to start my career at Children's Hospital of Philadelphia in their neonatal intensive care unit. So right from the get-go, I saw an interprofessional team in action. I saw a very, very high-functioning interprofessional team, and also that team really valued nursing and nursing input. So little did I know how much that would frame my career, you know, way back when, but I think that is one of the important things that I saw and learned in clinical practice that, you know, nursing is a team sport. We can't do it alone. And we need all these professions in order for our patients to get the best care. So I was really lucky to have that foundation. And I feel like I took that with me in every job I had, you know, seeing these advanced professionals doing it in such a high level. Really, I think it was a blessing to me, and it really did frame my career. I guess another thing I learned is always putting the patient at the center of care, right? Because as a nurse, you have so many different views coming at you, so many different professions. And sometimes I think it's really important for all of us just to take a step back and, like, you know, what's important for this patient right now? And it might change day to day, right? Mm-hmm. So getting the team to realize, like, yes, I know you have your best interests and I have my best interests, but what's the best interest of the patient? So I think there are two valuable things I learned in my many years at the clinical bedside.
Yeah, I'm really struck by the first part of your answer because like you, I was fortunate enough to spend part of my career at CHOP and working on a multidisciplinary team. And I say the same thing to my students today, that I learned so many valuable lessons about working effectively with a multidisciplinary team when the patient and the family is in the middle, and just, you know, realizing that healthcare is at its best when we work together that way, where we take the expertise from this discipline and this discipline and this discipline and bring them together. And it's, you know, it's also one of the things I so very much love about our college, in that, mm-hmm. you know, we are training the members of those multidisciplinary teams going forward, and realizing that while it's so critically important that our students learn their disciplines, mm-hmm. but it's also equally important to learn how to have those productive, healthy, respectful relationships with our colleagues from other disciplines to really deliver that great care. So what then led to your pivot to focusing more on nursing education?
Well, so I guess it was like my second year as a nurse at CHOP. You know, they came to me and asked me to be a preceptor. So I was like, sure. So I started precepting new nurses, people that had just graduated from nursing school. And I just really right away took to that. I loved watching how they advanced over the 12 or 16 weeks of the orientation. And specifically in the NICU, watching a new grad take care of what we call feeder growers, the stable babies. And then by the end, being able to take care of an intubated baby on drips, on ECMO, and just seeing that transition in such a short time, I just got hooked on education. And even more than that, seeing how they think, having being able to answer the questions that they come up with. And even when they get off orientation, I love when they come get me and show me like the patient they took care of last night, or send me an email saying, I'm just checking, is this right? And so seeing them grow and blossom was really a hook for me. And so I was like, oh, education's great. And I think this is something I want to do in the future. But the other part of that is, education is just such a big part of nursing, right? We educate every day, whether it's the patient or the family member or another person on the healthcare team. I just feel like there's not a day goes by that a nurse isn't educating someone on something. So it's a natural fit for a nurse, I think.
Well, and you obviously took this idea of education to heart because you went the distance and went and got your PhD in 2020. Is it that same passion for the education that led you to go ahead and get a doctorate degree?
Yeah, so it was that same passion, but really a more specific thing. So I worked at many big hospitals, like big children's hospitals, but I've also worked at many smaller community hospitals where there weren't a lot of resources and where we hired a lot of new graduates. And what happened in particular in the Midwest, one small children hospital where we had a lot of new grads, sometimes we'd have an emergency or even a code blue, and you could see some of the nurses were like deer in headlights, and it wasn't their fault. They were newer. And so actually it was an ER attendant came to me. I was the nurse educator at the time. I'd already gotten my master's in education. And she said to me, she's like, Sue, we have to do something, right? So I developed a program called Nurses Roles in a Code Blue. And we kind of broke it down and we started having lock codes. And originally it was just nurses were invited to it. And we broke down each individual role for the nurse during an emergency or a code blue. But then we started inviting the residents. And then, pharmacy we invited and the respiratory therapist. So it organically became this interprofessional program. And then at another community hospital, when I was actually the director of nursing education, I was really lucky to find a attending that was a champion of this too. So he made sure the residents came every month. And then, when pharmacy came, they liked it. And so we kind of got this program working on the peds and PICU unit. And it was a very small unit. But what happened was I would come into work on Monday morning and I get an email from the attending, and he would say things like, Sue, we had a code blue this weekend. Everybody fell into their roles. We need to keep doing this. Or the pharmacy director would email me and say, I heard our Pete's pharmacist gets to go to these code blues. Can I send all my pharmacists to your code blues? So through the hospital, it just kind of organically, I was getting this feedback. And then as the director of nursing education, I got really excited and I would go to meetings with the CNO and leadership and say, we have to do this. Everybody has to go through this. We have to make this part of orientation. And, for those of who manage the hospital budget, it's very challenging, right? And so there's something called non-productive time. So it's hard to bring people in for non-productive time and pay them. So I was kind of hitting some brick walls. They thought it was great, keep doing what you're doing, but we can't give you any more. So it was at that time when I started reading the literature, and I kind of just started thinking like, you know what, I need the rigor of research behind this, because I know how great interprofessional education is. I can see that it really builds teamwork and collaboration with my team on the unit, but I need to demonstrate it to everyone else. And I knew I need to get my doctorate, and I also needed people to help me do that. So that's kind of my story, but it was really the interprofessional and the organic development of it really made me get my PhD.
That's great. So one of the things that we obviously have asked you to do in your role with us within the college and then within the Department of Nursing is to lead the initiatives with training and education that's going to take place in our new simulation center in the building. For those of you, for those of our listeners who are less familiar with what a simulation center is, what is a simulation center?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, so a simulation center is a dedicated area within, it could be in a college, it could be in a hospital, it could be in any training center facility, which is devoted to simulation. And so simulation is a technique that creates a situation or an environment that allows a person or a learner to experience a representative of a real life scenario. And the reason we do simulations is for the purpose of practice. So, you know, professionals can practice for learning, for evaluation. We do it for research and even for testing. And often simulations are used for high risk, low volume scenarios to help learners be more prepared in these situations. So, for example, postpartum hemorrhage. So a nurse or a team might not see that every day on their unit, but when they do see it, it's an emergency and they need to know how to act in it, in that situation. So that's one of the things that simulation is really great for.
So it really the focus is on those more quote unquote rare events, but that may come with a high level of complexity, a high risk for the patient, that even though they're rare, you don't get an opportunity to practice them?
Well, that could be one focus. Yes, 100%. Okay. Because you want to make sure people are up to speed on best practices in those mm-hmm. emergency situations. But if you only see them once every 3 months, you know, you won't be in tune to it. So, but if you mm-hmm. can do that, recreate that in a sim lab, that'll give them great practice. Or like another example is, you know, we might see a lot of patients with diabetes in the hospital. So like things like insulin and food mm-hmm. education and things like that, we're probably really good at. But somebody coming in a DKA, we might not see that every day, which is an emergency and is a crisis. So mm-hmm. recreating those certain scenarios is really important. But, you know, simulation scans a spectrum. It can, you know, in our undergrad nursing program, our first couple sims are like how to walk in and say, hi, my name's Sue, to the patient, you know? So there's simple, we think they're simple communication right. things, but just giving them the practice before we put them in the hospital or the community is really helpful for the learners.
And, you know, you and I both know well, because we've seen the schematics, we've seen the videos, and I encourage people who are listening, who are interested, to go to the college's website if they want to see both what the new building, but also the new simulation center is going to look like, because there are videos online. But as you think about that space and its potential, given that it's not just going to be a simulated simulated units within a hospital, that we're also going to have a simulated row home or a simulated park and a simulated restaurant. What are the things that make you particularly excited about this state-of-the-art space?
Yeah, that's a great question. There's so many things that get me excited, so you might have to get me to stop talking. But I think one of the things is just the space alone. I think it's going to be 22,000 square feet. So we're, you know, right now we have to schedule things where we can only do one sim at a time or two. You know, we're going to be able to have multiple simulations, multiple professions running at the same time. So that's really exciting. The other thing is, of course, the interprofessional aspect, right? A lot of universities have like a College of Medicine Sim Lab or a College of Nursing Sim Lab, and they might have interprofessional events, but we're all going to be under one roof. And like on a day-to-day basis, our learners are going to be interacting with each other, which is really exciting. And just to put, you know, nobody works alone in the community or in the healthcare setting. So being able to have a simulation where, you know, a patient might have had a stroke, and so we have nursing in there along with PT and OT, you know, that is so valuable, because that's what's going to happen in the hospital or the community setting. And then the other part that gets me really excited is the public health aspect, right? Our strong focus on public health, because it's really important. We try to stress this to the nursing students. You know, you see a patient in the ICU or the med surge floor, like, you know, they just don't go away. They go home, they go back to their community. Hopefully they go back to work. So having the students understand that they could follow a patient through all the environments is going to be great, is really going to be great for their learning.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And can you talk a little bit more about how unique it is for our college to have the Department of Nursing within it? And then I think more importantly, as you just touched on, what's going to be the implications of that for the nurses that we train if we're doing it right? And they're mm-hmm. coming out with that public health lens to their work.
Yeah. So that was one of the things I was really impressed with Temple when I first got here. Our undergrad nursing, they have 8 community home practicums. When I went to nursing school, I had one community home practicum. And our students go, they go to schools, they go to nursing homes, they go to community centers. So it's multifaceted. It's not just one community area. So I think that focus on public health, and I think it's really important. And I think sometimes too, when you're young, you're like, oh, I want to get into the ICU or I want to go to the ER because it seems exciting. But I think exposing them to all these different areas and seeing how important nursing care or any kind of care is in the community, or more importantly, how do we help people so they don't become a patient, right? So how do we get in the community before they get sick? What kind of resources can we give them? What kind of education can we give them? And I think a nurse is a really big part to all of that.
I completely agree, and I'll sheepishly admit that I was probably like a lot of people earlier in my life where, I had a very stereotypical view of what a nurse did and where a nurse worked. And I've had the great fortune, as I've gone through my training and my career and working in hospitals and other settings, where I feel like I've almost run into nurses in just about every context where I've worked. So whether it be in clinical care delivery or working with a public health agency or working with a pharmaceutical company or
Right.
Working, working on policy issues or working with government. And I think that a nursing degree is the flexibility of degrees in nursing is probably much greater than most people recognize. Is that a fair statement?
Oh yeah, I agree 100%. And I know, like, when nurse people come to me and are thinking about nursing, I say exactly that. I say nursing is the best. There is so much you can get into, like from bedside nursing to the community to a corporate world to case management, quality. I mean, it's endless what you can do. So I often tell them that, the sky's the limit if you want to become a nurse. And even if you venture out to other things, you still have that nursing degree, right, to fall back on, to you still have all these expertise under your belt. So yeah, I would agree. Nursing infuses so many aspects of our daily lives.
So when some of our students come to you and they realize that you have advanced degrees in nursing, what advice do you give them if they think that they too may want to go and pursue a NP degree, or if they want to maybe go the distance and get a PhD?
Yeah. So what I tell them is, what makes a master's degree or a DNP or PhD so valuable is that it opens doors for you, right? And it's sometimes when you're working or in school, you don't even realize the doors it will open. I remember a lot of times when I was in my doctorate program, I often asked myself, is this really worth it? Like, what am I doing? But it's hard to see when you're in it, right? But looking back, I can say, yeah. So, the future possibilities and the doors that it opens really, really helps when you have an advanced degree. And then the other thing I tell them, it really helps develop your interests and passions, right? So if you're going the extra step to get an advanced degree, what are you passionate about, right? If you're interested in serving the community, then focus your advanced degree on that. Or if you're interested in cardiac care, get a focus on that. Maybe your research could be in that. And I remember when I first started PhD school and with our initial cohort, a lot of people said to me, like, oh, there's no funding in education, like nursing education, that never gets funded. And I really thought about changing my topic, but I'm so glad I didn't. So that's another thing I tell people. I'm like, just follow your passion because it'll lead you in the right direction for sure.
So my last question for you is, you are relatively new to our college. And obviously you've joined us at an incredibly exciting time, and an incredibly exciting time for you, because you're going to get to play in this phenomenal space and develop all this incredible programming. And when we think about the building, I'm one of the first things I say to people is, the crown jewel really is going to be that interdisciplinary SIM Center. What other than obviously that, which is, front and center in all of our minds right now, what have you come to enjoy about working within our college environment and our culture?
Yeah, a couple of things that I really stood out to me and that I really enjoy. One is the diversity of the professions and the colleagues, right? And then the other thing is the support teams throughout CPH. So coming from a college of nursing, which I loved, being part of, but I always go to the inpatient clinical aspect of everything, right? Because I have that narrow focus. But when I go to meetings or if I'm on a committee or a grant or something with other professions, they often remind me, that patient care goes far beyond the clinical setting, right? So I'm also reminded, how important it is to follow the patient through all environments to serve the community. And then even a further step, which I often forget, is policy, right? How we as a school of public health can really impact public policy and funding for, the community. So I think that's one of the best things about being part of a school of public health, because you kind of step out of your nursing focus and you get to see the greater picture, which once again will only help the patient.
Yeah,
And then oh God.
no, I was just gonna say I'm right there with you. I think it's one of the most wonderful things about our college, not only in terms of our ability to train individual practitioners regardless of their disciplines, but also to think about these bigger picture issues and how these things play against the landscape of public health. And as you said, the role that policy plays in all this. I had done no policy work before I came to the college. And why I would hesitate to call myself a policy expert, and I'm certainly not one. I'm very proud of the opportunities I've had to take my work in that direction to a certain extent and think about how my work impacts not only individuals, but also communities and states and the country as a whole.
And I think too, because I'm fairly new to research and grants and policy, so I someone like me might think, oh, I can never do that. But seeing people in our college that are doing it, I'm like, oh, well, maybe I can, or maybe I can't. They'll help me get there. So it seems more of a possibility now than it ever has before.
Yeah. So, Dr. Killer, I want to thank you for taking some time today and joining us. It was great to obviously hear about your enthusiasm for joining the college, and like you, I share in that excitement of what's to come with our new simulation center and the new building, and think that it is truly going to be an exciting and inspiring era for education of our students, not only in nursing, but across the college. So again, thank you very much. And for those of you who have been listening, I hope you've enjoyed this recent episode of the podcast and look forward to having you join us on a future episode of Common Voice.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Common Voice, a podcast of the College of Public Health of Temple University. If you are interested in learning more about our academic programs and scholarship, or providing financial support to Common Voice, our programs, or students, please visit us at www.cph.temple.edu.